Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Three proposed constitutional amendments and two proposed initiated measures. South Dakotans spoke at the ballot box, offering their thoughts on government accountability, citizen democracy, and the tobacco tax. Pam Carvo is Associate Professor of Political Science and Sociology at Black Hills State University, and she is joining us now on the phone. Dr. Carvo, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So there's a lot to talk about here, but there's definitely some themes. Where do you want to begin with these ballot questions, how they sort of were teed up for voters?
Well, I think a number of them kind of related to or came out of the last legislative session where there was a concerted effort to try to change the way South Dakota runs their initiative and referendum process.
In that regard, it would almost seem like you would see some patterns that, you know, all of them would be rejected, all of them would be approved. But we saw voters sort of picking and choosing what they liked and didn't like.
That's true. I think it indicates that maybe some of the critiques of the initiative and referendum process had some validity. But on the other hand, people also value the direct democracy, right? The ability to do things as citizens. And so I think that's reflected in the results that we saw yesterday.
All right. So specifically a Constitutional Amendment X, which would have required an increase in number of votes to approve an amendment, that failed. People said, you know, we like that the way it is. But then Constitutional Amendment Z, which was an attempt to simplify what could be on the ballot, that was successful. What's the impact of sort of saying, hey, these constitutional amendments have to not be as complicated as they currently are?
Well, I think you're exactly right. The idea is if we have a single subject requirement, it really does make the initiatives easier to understand. Additionally, it removes the temptation to pair an unpopular idea with a popular idea in the hopes that both will pass. Unfortunately, the downside is that with single subject requirements, that's a way for people who oppose the initiative and referendum process or oppose the idea, that's a way for them to challenge and really slow down the initiative process. It forces proponents to spend time and money defending single subject challenges rather than spending that time and money on a campaign to try to get something passed.
Are there challenges to really, you know, crafting a single issue amendment when you're trying to, attack something that is pretty complex? So even the amendment, what could be brought forward could possibly be limited or not?
Absolutely. And, you know, it really kind of depends on how the courts interpret single subject. Mm-hmm. If you have courts that interpret that very tightly, it can make it really difficult to pass something that's just a little bit complicated using an initiative and referendum process. On the other hand, it really kind of depends on how the courts interpret single subject requirements.
Okay, so to be clear, as I understand it, that just refers to constitutional amendments, right? I mean, you could still have a multi-topic initiated measure, correct?
Oh, yes, actually, okay. That is exactly what the text of the amendment, our Constitutional Amendment Z, says.
All right, so let's talk about some of those initiated measures that before we do that, let's make sure we pick up Constitutional Amendment W, because this was sort of an initiated Measure 22 reboot. It was, you know, initiated Measure 22 was passed by voters. It went to the State House. Lawmakers did an emergency repeal of it, put forth their own legislation saying this is the voters' intent, but and voters didn't like that. Amendment W comes along. It's pretty complicated, and 55% of voters say no thank you to that. What does that tell us? Because so many people said they were upset about initiated Measure 22, and yet Amendment W did not pass.
I think you're right. That's what was so fascinating. It really was kind of a referendum on the state legislature's repeal of initiated Measure 22. And so there were a lot of people upset by that, and this really did look like an opportunity to send a message to the state legislature, you know, don't do this again. But I think people also realized that this was proposed as a constitutional amendment, and you know, if it goes into the Constitution, it's a lot more difficult to change. You need a new constitutional amendment. And so I think that might explain why it didn't pass. It did have multiple components. And, you know, if people were thinking, wow, single subject amendments really are a good idea, and this had multiple components, maybe that also caused them to vote no when they voted yesterday.
When we look at those amendments, was there any, you know, advertising or communications from those who were proposing, or, you know, who on the pro side or the con side, that you think was particularly effective? Were there messages that you think perhaps would have resonated more with voters?
I actually didn't see a lot of campaigning for W, X, or Z. We did see, of course, commercials for initiated Measure 25 that I thought were pretty effective.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because this is a tobacco tax. It is an effort to, increase or lower the tuition costs for technical schools through the process of a tobacco tax. And a lot of money went into fighting that, which was eventually defeated.
Right, and it was fascinating. You know, I'm listening to the commercials and I'm thinking, wow, they're actually making really good arguments about, you know, the sin taxes being an insecure, in a sense, form of revenue. I thought, wow, those are really good arguments. And then I realized, oh, the tobacco company is paying for these commercials. It really made it difficult to decide how to vote on some of those, at least on that issue.
Right.
But I would say that the arguments that were made, regardless of who they came from, were legitimate. Sin taxes really are unreliable sources of income. They generate revenue, but they're designed to deter behavior, smoking. But if you really want a secure revenue source for something that you think is important, a sin tax may not be the best idea. Mm. With one caveat, I would say, alcohol sin taxes tend to be fairly secure. It's possible in the future that maybe sports betting could be a secure form, and then marijuana could be a secure form, but they're so new, it's hard to know for sure.
Hmm. All right, so, and that topic that, tech school funding and lowering tuition remains as a problem that needs to be solved, so we'll likely see it in the state legislature because this particular funding option failed, but lawmakers are very determined to get that funding in place.
And I think it would be a good idea to find a secure source of funding for that very important policy objective.
Yeah. Initiated Measure 24, and this is one that Governor Dugard was supportive of, and talking about keeping out-of-state political committees and entities from flooding the state with money for some of these initiated measures. Another sort of look at this citizen democracy. This one passes, and voters approve of it.
Yeah, and I think it kind of appeals to South Dakotans. We don't want outsiders coming in and using our state as, an experimental lab or something like that. The tricky part, though, I think, is that this probably will be challenged in court. There's an interesting case out of Alaska, Thompson versus Hebden, because Alaska had laws or has laws that limit out-of-state competition, out-of-state contributions to their political campaigns, and that's being challenged. You know, is that a violation of free speech if an individual from Wisconsin is unable to donate to his brother-in-law's campaign in Alaska? As far as South Dakota's initiated Measure 24 is concerned, this actually doesn't limit out-of-state contributions to political campaigns, individuals running for office. It only applies to initiatives and referendum, that kind of referenda. Mm. And so it's not exactly the same situation as the Alaska case, but I think the finding in the Alaska case will really tell us a lot about whether initiated Measure 24's objective will be constitutional or not.
So that's going to be a wait and see. But in the meantime, how does that change the game for people who want to get things on the ballot?
Well, I think what they need to do is it's actually not tricky. An organization that is out of state would simply need to incorporate in South Dakota for the purpose of the election, and then they'd be able to contribute money to the campaign. But what's going to happen is it's going to be easier for certain groups to do those kinds of things, and probably groups that have a lot of resources will have an easier time doing that than the kind of grassroots groups that often want to contribute or participate in, you know, the discussion that we're having in South Dakota.
Dr. Pam Carvaux is Associate Professor of Political Science and Sociology at Black Hills State University. She joined us on the phone today from Spearfish. Pam, thank you so much.
Thank you.